Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Angry and upset because now this woman, this young girl, this slave girl who once would make them money through her fortune-telling abilities influenced by Satan, no longer had those abilities. And they were losing money. And all they could see was Paul and Silas were the culprits. And so what ended up happening was they stirred up the city. They got the authorities in the city involved. And eventually what happened was they had Paul and Silas arrested and thrown into prison. Not a good day for Paul and Silas. And we'll read more about it here as we go along. Let's pick it up in verse 22. Verse 22 of Acts chapter 16. It says, and the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. How many know mob mentality can really do a number on people, right? Like, we just see it all the time happening. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped, beaten, and after they had been severely flogged, not just a little tap on the wrist, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. How many know that when you're in the will of God does not necessarily guarantee that everything's going to go well? How many know what I'm saying? We got to debunk this idea that just because you are a follower of Christ does not necessarily mean that everything is going to be rosy and great. The reality is often it's the opposite. Let me say, if you are a follower of Jesus and you are actually involved and actually, you know, being a threat to the enemy, don't be surprised if you experience opposition. I loved what someone said. The Christian life is not a playground. It's more like a battleground, and that's so true. And I was just thinking this week as I was meditating and thinking about this passage, and again, thinking about our small group leaders and those of you who are involved in discipling of other people. Parents, one of the greatest things that you can teach your people, teach your children, teach those who you are discipling, one of the greatest things you can do is to teach them how to be strong and resilient, especially in times of hardship and adversity. We all experience it, don't we? And this idea, again, that Christianity is just for the weak is absolutely false. If you are going to be a follower of Christ, you are going to face adversity. And so, again, parents, let me encourage you to teach your children, whether it's in your devotional times, when you're in the car, when you're coming home from school and the kids have maybe had a bad day or whatever, teach your children how to handle hardship and adversity in a way that helps them go forward. How to trust God. This is the challenge that we all face, is how to trust God in those dark nights of the soul. What we see here with Paul and Silas is a very difficult, dark night that they are facing. Scripture says they were stripped. And the Bible here is fairly graphic, and I think we can kind of almost visualize what was going on. Beaten, severely flogged, thrown into the inner cell, feet bound in the stocks. This was an intense night. This was not an easy night. This was a painful night. And so my question this morning is, what do we do in these times of trial? What's our natural response? What's your response? What's the typical response? Oftentimes when we are going through these kind of times where we feel we've been mistreated or abused or hurt, it's easy to become bitter. it's easy to become resentful. And I can just imagine Paul and Silas here thinking that, man, like, we are in the will of God. We've heard the voice of God. We've come to this city, and now look what's going on. So anger and self-pity and questioning the why is a pretty normal response that people have in these times, in these dark nights. Why am I having to go through this? But I want us to look at verse 25 as we pick it up further as to what Paul and Silas did. Let's read it. Follow along in your Bible or on the screen. It says, about midnight. So there were no little night lights glowing in the corner of this cell. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture if you've studied the Scripture, but if you haven't, it's a very, there's so much to teach from this. Praying and singing hymns to God. I wonder what songs they might have been singing. They might have been singing songs like we sang this morning. Can you just hear Paul and Silas singing, "It is well"? Maybe not quite that version of it, but and probably a little better than my voice, but they were singing songs, hymns that they related to in their own life. Probably singing hymns, songs from the Psalms of David. And I don't know, there's just something to be said about the value of song in that dark period. And our hearts are lifted in prayer and worship. Because it says they were praying and they were worshiping, they were singing. This will be a great question to talk about and maybe in a group setting, but what is the value of prayer and worship? Why should we do this? Why was this important? What benefit was this to Paul and Silas? Let me just give you a couple of thoughts here. One is that prayer and worship in the midst of a dark night changes our outlook. It gets our eyes off of where we are. It gets our eyes off of what's going on. It gets our eyes off of that pain and that battle that we are in, and those, maybe the abusers, maybe the person that has mistreated you or has spoken evil of you or whatever. The value of prayer and worship in a dark night changes our outlook. David said in Psalm 121, he said, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?" He says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." How many are glad that in the dark night we can lift our eyes to heaven? We can lift our eyes to the Lord in those times. Another thing that happens when we pray in prayer and worship in the dark night is it releases hope. Hope just seems to start to rise up. It's one of the reasons when we come on a Sunday like this, on a day like today, people, you can walk into a place like this and you can come in with a heavy heart, burdened and struggling, and you've had a tough week, whatever. And there's just something about praise and worship that just lifts the soul. And it reminds us that we can go on. Prayer and worship reminds us of God's faithfulness. We even sing that old song, that old hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Maybe they sang that one. Reminds us that, as we said earlier, that all things work together for good. I love Psalm 77 and verse 6, and I think we have this on the screen. Psalm 77, verse 6 says, "I remembered my songs in the night." That's a good word, isn't it? That was a scripture when I was just looking up some of the text this week. I came across that verse and I thought, where have I missed that one? Maybe go to that next slide, Josiah, if we could. It says, "I remembered my songs in the night." It's good to know that we can sing in the night. We can sing in the night season. We can praise God and we can worship him in the night season. Psalm 42 and verse 8 says, "By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." And so we see, obviously, Paul and Silas. I mean, Paul was he was experienced. One thing, when you read the book of Acts, one thing, Paul was very experienced at dealing with adversity. He was always being attacked and thrown into prison or doing something that was experiencing some kind of pain and suffering. So he understood. He knew how important this was. But I want you to notice back to verse 25 again. Maybe go back to that verse, Josiah, if you could. Verse 25. Look what was happening around them. So these guys are worshiping. They're beaten. They're in intense pain. They've been flogged. The blood is dripping from their body. And the prisoners around them had never experienced what they were now experiencing. Look what it says in verse 25. It says, "And the other prisoners were listening to them." They had never experienced this. They hadn't, you know, what do you think goes on in one of those prison cells? What do you think would be the normal thing that they would be hearing? Probably a lot of profanity. Probably a lot of cursing of the jailers, right? Can you just imagine? They would probably have heard nothing but cursing and swearing, profanity, vicious, vicious talk, catcalling, and going both ways. The jailers yelling at them to shut up and all that. Just imagine the kind of language, the kind of tension that would have existed in that prison cell on a normal night or a normal day. And here's Paul and Silas. What are they doing? They're praising God. They're praying. They're worshiping. And there's a principle here that I think we need to think about, and that is that when going through difficult times, remember that others are watching and listening. I mean, no, that's true. When going through difficult times, remember, others are watching and listening. They're observing. The question is, how will we respond? In this case, the pain was very real, and yet God was also very real. And I think that's the point we need to remember. That even though our pain is real, God is even more real. How many are thankful for that this morning? Even though the night seems very, very dark, the light of the world still is within us, and you can't put out the light. So let me encourage you this morning, whatever might be part of your dark night, consider the fact that others are watching. Others are listening. And that should not put pressure on us. It should actually give us a sense of hope that somehow God might be able to use what I'm going through for his glory. I think we need to think along those terms, that God just may be able to use my night season, this dark period, this prison cell that I happen to be in, that it just so happens that God might just be able to get something good out of it. I remember someone said a long time ago, God never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a hurt. And so here's Paul and Silas in their night season praying, singing hymns to God. Others are listening. And we begin to see the story unfold. We begin to see the rest of the story. Let's pick it up in verse 26. It says, "And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And all at once, the prison doors flew open. And everyone's chains came loose. It says, and the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. The reason being is in Roman culture, this was a Roman colony, actually a Roman city. Roman culture said that if you were a jailer charged with the assignment of guarding these prisoners, if anyone escaped, that meant your life. It wasn't just you got fired, it meant your life. And so this is exactly what he thought. He figured it out, they're all gone, I might as well just end it now. Drew a sword, was about to kill himself. It says, but Paul shouted to him, he said, don't harm yourself, for we are all here. The jailer called for the lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And he then brought them out and asked, sirs, this is the jailer speaking now, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. So what we see happening here, kind of as the story unfolded, it's at midnight, they're praising, worshiping God. In the midst of their struggle, doors began to open. Doors began to open. And the question I want to ask this morning is, when God opens a door for you, what will you do with it? Here the thought was, everybody's just going to escape. They're going to be gone. And that would have been Paul and Silas's cue. Oh, God has said it. But no, God, Paul also knew that there was probably another assignment here that needed to be dealt with. Even in our adversity, even in struggle and pain, God can use that to provide an open door for something else. So the question is, when God opens a door, what are you going to do with it? Have you ever thought that sometimes God opens doors that we don't ask for? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes God opens doors that we don't ask for. Sometimes God gives us an assignment that we had not planned upon. Sometimes God takes us through something that we didn't think was in the cards. Sometimes God allows us to go through an experience that we can't understand. Why are we having to go through this? And yet, in the midst of it all, God opens a door. And I was thinking about some people, even in our own church, who have had to deal with doors that God has opened that they hadn't asked for. And it wasn't something that they even necessarily wanted. People like Maureen Eichlenboom, who just this past August marked the 10th anniversary of her son's death in Afghanistan, when the vehicle that he was in was blown up by a suicide bomber. And in the midst of all that, out of all of that pain, God has opened up doors, and we've talked about this numerous times, how God has given Maureen a platform that she never asked for, but she has chosen to use for good and for God's glory. And out of that, Boomer's legacy was formed. We'll hear probably more about that in November again with Remembrance Day coming up. Many of you know, and for those of you that maybe are just new in our church this morning or recently, know that our family personally experienced a tragedy back in February where my two nephews, 17-year-old boys, and I think we have a picture there of these boys, Josiah. My nephews, 17-year-old twin brothers, were killed in a bobsled accident in Calgary. And our family, and especially their parents, they were shaken to the core. And all of a sudden, they were facing having to deal with stuff that they never asked for. This was not something that they had in the plan for their family whatsoever. But what's happened as a result, and we've shared a little bits and pieces of this over the last few months, was that the tremendous doors that God has opened to share the gospel, to bring some context to loss and grief and a family dealing with pain and faith and all these kind of questions. This past week, maybe go to the next slide there, Josiah. The next one, or the, there we go. This is my nephew. His two boys that were killed. This past week, the Calgary newspaper did an extensive interview with Jason. And in preparation, he was invited to speak to the Calgary mayor's prayer leadership breakfast. And there was hundreds of people that came together on this past Thursday where he spoke and shared his story and testimony of God's grace in the midst of a very dark night. It was interesting that Global News, and I think some people actually even here might have seen, heard some rumors of a, where they actually did a 5-part video series, and we're going to show one of the clips here in just a minute, where Jason has been able to share their deep faith. The Bible that you see was one of his boys' Bibles, and that was the picture taken of him with his son's Bible. And just the hope, the how God in the midst of this dark night has given them a song. And so what's happening with Jason and his wife, God is, there's doors that they didn't ask for that have been opened. Are you with me? Doors to touch thousands of people with the love of God and faith and hope and trust. Not a door that they didn't ask for, but a door that God has used. And my encouragement to you this morning is that there are doors that God may want to open up out of your struggle, out of your dark night, for His glory and for His purposes. We'll read here in a couple of few minutes. We'll read about what happened with Paul and Silas. But maybe before we do that, if we could just cue up that clip there, Josiah. And an interview with Global News with my nephew just this week.
Their faith has really helped you survive this. But had there ever been a point where it was really tested, where you thought...
Well, there's no... Yeah.
Your faith was shaken.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, there's no question that when you experience a shocking devastation, you know, like the Prentice family is going through right now. Every day in the news, another tragedy, another unexpected shocking death. I've had so many parents of other children come and say, you know, my child died just last month or 6 months ago, whatever. And there was no warning, there was no any indication that something was going to go wrong. And it's in moments like this that absolutely faith is tested. Like the rubber hits the road. Your foundation is shaken to the core. But thankfully, you know, just like going to that little black cabinet in your house and opening the file drawer and pulling out the insurance policy, God doesn't ask us to navigate through these things with uncertainty. And so, you know, at that moment, all you care about, like when I dropped to my knees between the bodies of my sons in the medical examiner's office, just along Bowness Road there, all I could think is, thank God I don't have to worry about where they are, right? Am I, am I sad that I'm not going to have this life with them the rest of these years? You know, what years do I have? I'm not sure. But whatever years I have, will I miss them every day? Yes. But thank God, I don't have to sit here and think, where are they? And this is really, you know, the essence of faith, and that is opening up this book called the Bible and saying, am I going to embrace this? Is this going to be, am I going to take this as truth? And that's all that Jesus said that we need to do to be saved, is to believe in him, believe in the one that sent him, and to follow him, repent and follow him. And that's the simple message, the simple message. And but you can look into God's word for 10 minutes, for 10 hours, for 10 weeks, for 10 months, or 10 years. And the more you look into it, the more you come to a clearer and clearer and clearer understanding that A, this faith isn't complicated, B, it's true, and C, it's for all of us. And so some people, I've heard share stories when they've gone through tragedy, they say, I lost my faith when that tragedy happened. And, you know, in all respect, I would say, I'm not sure if you had faith. You know, I'm not sure if you had faith, because, and that's it. That's a personal question for people to evaluate. But the Bible is just always sitting there. It's always there. It's on the coffee table or it's on the bookshelf. And it's calling out to us, let's open this word up, because there's a message of hope. There's a message of hope.
It's pretty amazing that Global News would do, they've done 5 video vignettes of interviewing Jason. And I'm so proud of my nephew and the inspiration that he is, wanting to use this open door to help people grow in their faith and trust in Jesus, to do the simple thing, and that is to repent and believe in Jesus, and then to see their faith grow in him. And my prayer this morning for all of us today is that God would use whatever adversity, whatever challenge, whatever struggle that we might be dealing with. And everyone, for all of you, it's personal. You all have something that you're probably having to deal with. That God would use it as an open door. Just, I wrote this in my notes, and that is that we would allow God to expand our reach in the midst of adversity. Allow God, write that down, allow God to expand your reach in the midst of adversity. And that's what's happened this past week with Jason and Shauna, as God has used them to expand the reach of the gospel to many, many people. And we see this with Paul and Silas. Going back here to our story, and we're going to close with this in just a moment. We see the jailer, in the midst of their Paul and Silas's pain, we find the jailer calling out to them. And we see in verse 31 again, when he asked, what must we do to be saved? Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus. There's that simple gospel, right? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household, the gospel expands. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. There's another example of how baptism needs to follow conversion very quickly. It doesn't have to wait until for a long, long period of time. But we see all of this household being baptized. And then it says, and then the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and the whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. You know what? Our adversity becomes a great opportunity to carry the greatest hope for the world to whoever might happen to be there to receive it. And in this case, Paul and Silas were able to minister to this jailer, and his whole family came to know Christ. And it says that joy came to the whole house. How many are thankful for the joy that Jesus brings when people embrace him and receive him? And I'm just so thankful today that we in the dark night of the soul, that we can sing these songs of hope. I'm going to invite the worship team if they'll come back. And I'm going to ask Melissa if we could do that song again, It As Well. And let's just, I want this to be a prayer for all of us this morning. Some of you right now are in the midst of some kind of pain. Let's all stand to our feet, everybody. Some of you right now are in the midst of some kind of struggle, some kind of adversity. And the night may seem very dark and very long. You may feel like it's hopeless and you're stuck and there's no way of escape. I imagine Paul and Silas probably thought this could be it, this could be the end. But God had another story yet to be written, and that was people's lives that were going to be changed because of their pain. Jason and Shauna, you know what? For them, my nephew and his wife, I remember when we got the phone call and jumped on an airplane and headed back to Calgary. I remember just the thought was like, how will this family ever get through this? And there's still days when the night, it's like a night season. It's still a regular occurrence where I got a note from the mom just the other couple days ago, and she said, my heart aches for the loss of my boys. You know, the pain never goes away, right? The pain doesn't go away. But neither does God. And the Bible says that while weeping is for a night, joy comes in the morning. And I see this, how God, even with this family, the jailer's family, a whole family was filled with joy. Joy came to them in ways that they never had imagined. It was because Paul and Silas chose to use the open door. Paul and Silas chose to use the open door that God gave to them for his glory. My encouragement is that you would allow God to use your open doors to help carry the gospel, to bring hope and life, and see people turn their attention to him. And what is well with your soul would become something that will be well with their soul. Amen? What God does for you, he can do for them. But God, you see, others are watching. That's what we said earlier. Others are observing your life. And what you're going through, people are going to be drawn to the faith and hope that is inside of you. And who knows what God might do for them as a result. And so, can we just sing this? Melissa, can you lead us in this song again? And let's sing it as a prayer in our own lives.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaking and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, my to not believe. Even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea.
I'm wondering this morning how many of you are here and you can relate, especially to you feel that perhaps you are in a dark night. And if that's you, just would you lift up your hand? Some of you are in a dark night. It seems like an impossible night. It's a night that is hard. Just hold it up real high. Some in the balcony. I'm on the main floor. We're going to do as we close this morning, just as Melissa was singing, I felt like one of the most beautiful things is to have the support of our family. I remember when Jason and Shauna lost their boys, and how family, it was family that descended upon their home. We walked into a house filled with family who came to bring comfort and support. And God has put us, the church is really a family. And God has put us in a family. It's not a perfect family. It's a family with lots of flaws and warts and blemishes, but God wants, it's you are his hands and his feet and his mouth. If we could just reach out to the people that, if you saw someone that is in, apparently in a dark season, it's a challenging time. I want us as a family to go to them, and I'd love to see a few people surround one another. And together we're going to see our family lifted up in this time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And Father, I pray that as we go today, that we would go with our faith lifted, our faith strengthened, our faith encouraged, our faith built up. I thank you that you give us songs in the night. We pray for those within our family today who are, it seems like the night is exceptionally dark and long, but you are greater and that your light shines brighter. I pray even this week for all of us that you will open doors that would help us extend our reach into our community. And Jesus, we pray that you will have your way. We thank you that all things work together for good. We thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that our faith and our trust in you is secure. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.